Calvary Chapel, how's everybody? It is an exciting Memorial Day weekend, celebrating our sort of two-day festivus of 30th anniversary festivities. Thank you so much for being here. Why don't you stand up with me? And while you do that, in 2006, I was attending a family camp. I got here. I moved from California like everybody else. Don't boo. And in 2005, in 2006, I'm going to family camp. I brought my guitar. And Chris Lepore, who is our worship leader from 2005 to 2010, said, "Do you play guitar?" I'm like, "No, I just carry a guitar around."
He looked cool, though.
That's, well, when you look like this, you have to have something to look cool. And so
that's
he's
part
like
of his vibe.
Yeah. So he said, "Can you play guitar? We're short a guitar player tonight." And that's how I ended up on the worship team. So he was my first worship leader, a great mentor, and he flew from Washington State to be here today. Chris Lepore.
Thank you, guys. It's really good to be with you this morning. Excited to worship with you all. I want to read from Psalm 34. It's probably been my favorite for 20 years. So I thought it'd be fitting to read over you guys this morning. It says there, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look on him are radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Amen. Let's pray together. God, we come before you this morning with praise and thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for your faithful work in this place. God, the way that you have spoken to and through so many, the loving community, God, that you have built here, your grace that carries us, Lord, your mercy that upholds us, God. God, we're grateful for the chance to worship, for your spirit, God, that strengthens and empowers the life of the believer. We give you praise this morning. Father, would you have our full attention in this place? God, we ask for divine revelation that you would reveal yourself to us. And that as you do that, God, we as your daughters and as your sons would respond to the beauty of who you are this morning. We ask this in your name and for your glory and for your praise because you are good. Amen.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Sing that again. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you're in the room, I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you're in the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me, Lord. Come and fill this place. Come and fill this place. Sing fire and wind. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come prayer. Holy Spirit, come rest.
Amen. Amen. Who here needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. Amen, church. It is so good to be with you here this morning, and it is a blessing just to worship with you, to lift up our voices, and I just want to welcome you this morning. My name is Guy Matthews. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and welcome. As you know, we got rid of our 8 o'clock service this morning, so we're filling up the house, and hopefully some of you 8 o'clock people and 9:45 people and those that came to worship us from out of town because of the celebration have an opportunity now to kind of say hi to one another. But before I do that, even is there anybody that is visiting us for the very first time today that would be brave enough to raise their hand so I can welcome you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome. Well, church family, just take a moment and greet one another this morning in the Lord, and then we'll get into our announcements. Okay, so just a couple of things. As you're making your way back to your seats this morning, as I mentioned, we've eliminated our 8 o'clock service this morning. And though I'm standing here and I can see a few holes, we're going to pack out this service. So please scoot into one another this morning. If your Bible normally has its own chair, if you would ask it to give up its chair this morning, that would be a blessing. We'd like to for everybody to be able to come and worship and hear the word this morning. So... Also, hopefully most of you or couples all got a bulletin when you came in this morning. So I want to touch on a couple of things in that. I don't want to take up a lot of time, so I'm not going to touch on every announcement, but a couple of them. They're all important, so please read along. I'm just going to touch, like I said, on a couple of them. So very first thing, if you brought your phone with you this morning, then if you would, please take it out and put it in silent or do not disturb mode. If you use a Bible app, good time to open it right now. But please put them in do not disturb so it's not a disruption while Jerry's teaching the word. Looking at the announcement, the second one there that says Friday, June 2nd, day of prayer and fasting. I don't know how many of you know, but every first Friday of the month, we open up the sanctuary. We dedicate that day to praying and fasting for this body, for one another, for our community, our state, and our nation. And just as all of you that were able to attend last night saw, the power of the foundation of this fellowship rooted in prayer and in our Lord and our Savior, we want to continue doing that until the Lord sees fit to come back and get us. So if you would, set aside June 2nd. Fast from, doesn't necessarily have to be food, maybe social media or TV or something that you would take that time that you would normally spend and dedicate it to the Lord in lifting it up for this fellowship and what he desires to do for the next 30 years. So join us in that. And the sanctuary will be open. If you want to come and pray here, you can do that. I know people do that. For you online, if you're not able to come, join us in prayer for that as well. I'm going to drop down to the fifth and sixth announcement. Do you guys know which one that is? Okay, hopefully you're looking and reading now. So, but the week of June 5th through the 9th, the staff is going to Colorado for a conference, a staff conference, and the church offices will be closed. With that, we will not have a midweek service on that Wednesday. So please note that the church offices will be closed all week. No midweek service on June 7th. And then I want to touch on the final announcement in there. And this is something that is dear to my wife's heart, especially, and mine as well. And it's in regards to the Hope Pregnancy Center, which those of you that went to the banquet know that it will soon be renamed The Well. But they are having a ministry training, which will start in June. And it's a combination online and in-person training for those who have a desire to come alongside and be advocates in pregnancy care and education. Information for that, the website you can see on that second to last line, and a telephone number for Tina Otto, who is a blessed part of this fellowship and just an amazing servant to the Lord in Hope Pregnancy Center and The Well. So take a look at that. If the Lord puts that on your heart, please come alongside with them and let the Lord use you in that. So with that, I'm done with announcements. I would like to now just pray for our continued time in worship and the word today and for our tithes and offerings. So if you'll stand with me, please. And then again, please make room for those. If you've got empty chairs next to you, get to know your neighbor. Lord, thank you so much, God, for the way that you moved last night. Lord, for these past 30 years, the way that you have set the foundation for this fellowship and built your church, God, where we can come today and we can raise our voices and we can open our hearts and our ears to hear your teaching. Lord, would you continue to pour your spirit upon us? Lord, fill this room with your spirit. Just as we sang, come, rest upon us. We need you more than ever today. Lord, have your will in us. And as we bring forth our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord, would you take them and would you multiply them and would you give us discernment and wisdom in where you would see them used? Lord, and would you just anoint our senior pastor today? God, speak mightily through him. Lord, not of his words, but you teach us by the truth and the glory that is your word. So let us set ourselves before you, submitted and willing to your moving. In Jesus' name, amen.
1999 to 2005, Randy Barron here was our worship leader. He'll be on bass today. Zach Short on keys was here until 2016 to 2020-ish. So it's really fun to get to play with these brothers today. Thank you for coming.
You give life.
who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect in all of your ways. In you are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To worthy of every song could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. God, sing Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you. Live for you, God. Holy, holy, there is no one like. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Mm-hmm. together. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Lord, we pray, if this is a small taste of heaven, bring it. God, we look forward to that day where we can worship you without having to worry about time, where we need to go, but that we would enjoy just being in your presence. So thank you so much for giving us the amazing freedom and the ability that we have right now to worship you with our voices raised high, Lord, with our hearts open. And even, God, in that time of us maybe even struggling to be here, you have the power and the ability to break through and pierce, Lord, any heart. And so we invite you, we ask that you would come and minister to our hearts this morning. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. Good morning. I want everybody to play nicely between the 8 and the 9:45 service, okay? Why don't you go ahead and have a seat? I want to welcome all of you here. It is such a blessing to be here this morning worshiping with you and the amazing freedom that we have in Christ. But there's another freedom that we want to honor this morning, and that is for all of the men and women who have fought bravely for our country. Yes. We would like to just take a moment and show a video to help get our minds and hearts in mind as we celebrate tomorrow. You know, many of us may have gotten the day off from work, but don't ever forget the price that was given in order for us to have this amazing freedom. And so if you would please roll the video.
With the rising of the sun each morning, we remember how you rose to the call. And with every sunset, in every evening, we remember the beauty of your sacrifice. We remember what you stood for, and we will not forget what it cost. To the families, friends, and fellow service members of the heroes we've lost, we remember. In the peaceful days, in the quiet nights, in the moments of joy and laughter, in the seasons of celebration, we remember that it did not come without a price. Because of you, we can walk in liberty. Because of you, the flag is still there. Because of you, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. On this day, we remember the price you paid to pledge your allegiance. So today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, we remember.
Amen. Am I on? Okay, great. I couldn't hear myself. Not that I need to, but. Well, listen, today is a special day, not only because we get to get into the Word, but as Pastor Guy mentioned, we are celebrating 30 years of ministry. And our celebration started last night where, again, we just had an amazing time of fellowship, a reunion for many. Again, you saw a small portion of it here on this stage, and it was just such a beautiful sight to see people embracing one another, loving one another, and giving God the glory for what he's been doing in this fellowship. And he's the true hero of Calvary Chapel St. George. Amen. Yes, amen. So last night was kind of part one of a time of testimony and praise. And this morning, we're going to take a break from our Gospel of Mark study, and I want to share with us about looking ahead. You know, God has blessed this fellowship for the past 30 years, and he's not going to stop. He's going to continue to pour out his blessings as long as we, as a body of Christ, give him our hearts. That's where it starts. And the church is not the building. The church is you, beloved. You are the church. And so I told you already, if you stay here, I'm going to start charging you rent, okay? You need to leave this place getting filled up with Jesus and taking him with you wherever you go. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is I'm going to do things a little different this morning, but I'm going to ask all of us to stand, and I want to pray, and I want to read a very familiar passage to you, which all of you should be familiar with. But it's out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 28. Let's all stand. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo," that's not just for us short people, okay? "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, and we're thankful that we can once again open your word. And as we open it, Lord, may it open us. May it give us the ability to look within. And as followers of Christ, are we literally living this out? And Lord, the blessing that we have today, and I pray that we would come with a heart of gratitude, and that is knowing that we can't do this apart from you. And you've given us your amazing spirit to dwell within us, to empower us today, that we can fulfill this. And so, Lord, this is what we ask this morning, that not only would our hearts be open, but our ears would be open. That even as it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." God, speak to us this morning. And if you should tarry, Lord, for another 30 years, I pray that you would still be the Lord and Savior of this church. and that your word would continue to go out in power and lives would be changed from the inside out. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned already really briefly, I just need to share this because it's going to help tie in everything. But last night's gathering, again, was really a testimony night for us to hear the different things that God has allowed this church to do in the past 30 years. And it was an amazing testimony. You know, it's amazing how God put it upon one person's heart for the state of Utah. And he came and he planted, and it started off, you know, in a Bible study, not even in St. George. It started off in Hurricane. Okay, for those of you who are here, I pronounced it correctly. Just saying. Don't want to offend anybody. But from there, it would be birthed into Calvary Chapel St. George because of one person. And throughout the season, God brought other faithful men and women, such as Pastor Rick, and there was a big list of all the names. I'm not going to go through them for the sake of us being able to get through this message this morning. But in every testimony, it was men and women who were faithful to not just believe the passage that we just read, and not just to preach it, but to live it. And it's so important that we understand that whenever we come to church, our heart needs to receive from the Lord. And as we leave, we need to live out those things that he's teaching us, to apply it. Because it's not about knowledge that you're allowed into heaven. It's by us believing, walking in faith, walking in obedience, and giving our lives to the Lord. And so it's a great testimony. And so we focused on the past, and I pray that last night it was a blessing for people to hear the story, some of the pastors. But this morning I want to focus on looking ahead. If God should tarry for another 30 years, and some of us are saying, please, Lord, don't do that to us. But if he did, what would he desire of us as Calvary Chapel St. George? I believe with all my heart he would express the same departing words that he gave his disciples, what we just read. Remember, before ascending into heaven, these were his last words that he delivered to them. And many of us know that this is called the Great Commission. And the reason why I believe he would still echo these words today is because the Great Commission has not been fulfilled. There's still plenty of areas, even around our world, that have never heard the name of Jesus. And it's even pretty amazing that in our own state, people don't know Jesus. And so we just read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Many people leave out verse 18, but it's so important that we put that in. Why? Because it's important for us to know that our Lord and Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's given us that authority. So you have a purpose, and you have, again, a part to play in fulfilling this Great Commission. Why? Because Jesus deputized you. Okay? He gave us these orders. And again, it's not the great suggestion, it's the Great Commission. And so in that short portion of Scripture, not only is it a blessing to see that God's given all authority, but the purpose of it. He says, to go therefore. In other words, we're not meant to build our own little kingdom here. It's not only about who comes to Calvary Chapel. God's given us this authority for us to go out and to do ministry outside of this building, to go out into all nations. For what purpose? When we talk about making disciples, it's giving people an opportunity to know Jesus like you and I do. That's what it's all about. Passing on what we know. And some of you might think, well, I don't know too much. Well, you would have heard of an amazing testimony from Pastor Rick last night, who said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what God's word says. And look at how God faithfully used him for the past 25 years of ministry. So we want to give people an opportunity to hear the gospel, and the long goal is to have them receive the ultimate gift, which is salvation. So for Jesus' disciples, his desire is that we would pick up where he left off, that we too would carry on the work of going out into this world, loving people and sharing with them about the goodness of God. And again, Matthew 28, we read it. I hope it went up. I don't know if it did or not, but if not, you guys, we just read it. So we want to also never forget that as we go out and we share, it is by faith that people come to repentance, or through hearing the word of God that people repent. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this is what God is calling us today. And again, what would God desire of us for the next 30 years? And I believe with all my heart, because this message hasn't changed to this day, the vision and mission of our church hasn't changed. And I want to share with you that God would tell us to stay true to our vision. And what is it? That we would be a family devoted to him, to his word, and to one another. Listen carefully. Our desire here at Calvary is to fulfill the Great Commission and to make an everlasting impact in our community and world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our vision, okay? What is our mission? To go and make disciples, to grow servant leaders, to glorify God in all that we do. So let's wrap those two together in the simplest form. It's all on your bulletin. It's on our shirts. What is our vision and mission? To follow Jesus and make him known. This is what God's given us as his church to fulfill. And so one of the desires of my heart in us fulfilling this is that from this point on until we see Jesus, and again, God forbid if he should tarry for another 30 years, it would be my prayer that we would not only look to his word, but look at examples in the scriptures of what God would desire of a church. And the best, for me, description of this is the church in Antioch. I pray that we would be like the church in Antioch. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. And I just want to read a few verses. Acts chapter 13. Beginning in verse 1. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Not one person, but several people in this fellowship, in this church, who were prophets and teachers, declaring forth the word of God and expounding on the word of God. Notice verse 2, as they, all of these men and others as well, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have commanded them or called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, if I pronounce that correctly, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And these four verses, there's a lot of things in here, but I want to just share really briefly. When it comes to this church in Antioch, it actually started after the death of Stephen, who was martyred for his faith. Many believers left Jerusalem seeking refuge in other cities. Now, we don't know exactly who started the church, but this is what I love. It began. Okay? It began. And a church should not have any other name exalted other than Jesus. Okay? I don't care who you are. Doesn't matter. The church belongs to Jesus. And so we don't even know who started this church, but we do know that there were faithful people ministering within this church. I also want you to understand that this church was mixed between Jews and Gentiles. In other words, it was a mixed congregation. And man, do I love looking up at this fellowship. I see different nationalities. I see people with hair, some with no hair. Young, old, doesn't matter. We're all here. Yeah, tall and short. Just had to go there. Just had to go there. You know, throw me off my groove here. A little bitter now. But what a beauty. What a beauty. Because it goes in line with what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. And this is what God desires of the church, to welcome everybody, regardless of where they've come from, regardless of the color of their skin. God loves all. And the other thing that I pray we would see is the testimony of this church, the devotion they had for the Word of God. You know, last night, Pastor Rick shared, in the time of him being here as a senior pastor, he went through the whole Bible with this fellowship 3 times. Okay? And it is my prayer that if God should tarry, we as a church would be devoted to the Word of God. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take me to go through the whole Bible. I've been the pastor for 5 years now. I'm not going to tell you how many books we've gone through. It's really small. But I hope impactful. I hope it's been drawing you closer to Jesus. And so I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I can commit. I can devote this. You will hear the whole counsel of God. And some of you might be thinking, Lord Jesus, just come so we don't have to wait that long. But it is so important that we stay true to the roots of teaching all of the counsel of God. This is not a feel-good church. This is not a seeker-friendly church. This is, I'm going to teach you the truth in grace and love, and I'm going to point you to God's word. I just want to be a messenger. And if there's hard topics that you don't agree with because of our culture, I would encourage you, don't trust your culture, trust Jesus. And so this is my desire as we go through the Word of God. And why is it so important? Because from Genesis to Revelation will give us every answer to life issues. And not only that, give us an amazing ability to know our God and Savior, to know His heart, to know what He loves and what He doesn't love, to stay away from those things that He hates. God's given us His Word to help build us up. It's not just here in these Bible studies that we have on Sunday and Wednesdays, but the life groups that go on, the women's Bible studies that happen on Thursdays, the men's Bible studies that have begun. And men, I love you, but we need to get into the Word. Amen. And I hope and pray that you would be willing to look into, not just coming to breakfast once a month with us on Saturdays. And believe me, I love it. I love seeing you here. But it would be important for you to get into the Word more than just that. So this church was known as a church that was devoted to the Word from the prophets and the teachers. And the next thing we see of their testimony is that they ministered to the Lord. And the word minister here means the same word as serve. So those that were a part of this church served the Lord. They didn't serve the pastor. Hear that, beloved. They served the Lord. With every part of this ministry, you're not here to serve me, Pastor Guy, anybody else. You're here to serve the Lord. And it is my prayer that we as a church would minister to the Lord, that we would serve the Lord. My greatest encouragement to every believer here in this fellowship, and even if I come across them outside of this church, is God has given each and every one of us a spiritual gift to use. For what purpose? To encourage the body and to bring him glory. That's the purpose of him giving us these gifts. You know, I will never stop encouraging people who love Jesus. And I'm going to ask the Lord to kill this fly. The enemy, man. Enemy. And it's just, I'm going to go away from there for a minute. Maybe. I don't know, maybe. But listen, I hope and pray the invitation that you hear about getting plugged into the ministry, I'm going to always direct you to that little piece of a puzzle. Because as frustrating as it is, if you are a puzzle person, you get to the very end and there's pieces missing. It's incomplete. Your joy's gone. And if you're not using the gifts and talents that God has given you, we're not completing the puzzle. And because you play a part, because you have a gift, God desires to use you. And what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. It is a privilege that I pray all of us would not take for granted. And that when we serve the Lord, that we would always understand and know it's not so that we get glory. It's to encourage one another, build each other up, and give God the glory. So if God should tarry, that we would also be a church that would serve. What else do we see? That this church was led by the Spirit. You know, many of us have watched the Jesus Revolution movie. How many of you seen it? All right. Did you guys enjoy it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm still going to ask the Lord to kill this fly. What made that happen? What was it that we can stand here today? I'm serious, man. This fly is going to... Somebody better come up here with the towel. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully, maybe I just keep walking. Now it's on my hair. There you have it. All right, well, we're going to pull through it. But what was it that God... Gosh. This has never happened. Who wants to shake my hand now? Gosh. I'm going to go home and take a shower now. I don't know what happened. Thank you, Frank. What made that take place? It was God's Spirit being poured out on men and women. And it was being poured out on hearts that were open. As they surrendered their life to the Lord, one of the key verses of all Calvary is Zechariah 4. Verse 6, where he says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. People's lives were changed because the Lord poured his Spirit out. I pray that we too would be led by the Spirit as God should tarry. I pray in the future that every decision that we make here as a church is going to be led by the Spirit. I pray that many of us who are believers, I think many of us have been praying for a revival, but the issue is that many people who are believers don't understand what they're praying for. Because when they say we want revival, what are they saying? We want the world to be awakened to the Lord, and that's the wrong concept. That's the wrong thought, because revival starts in here. So before you start praying for the world to be revived, we need to start asking the Lord to revive us. That's where we need to be. Open heart, ready to receive. And the only way that God can fill our heart is when we confess and empty it. Then God can fill it. And so when we do pray for revival, again, notice the effects when God does pour out his spirit. The example, Pentecost. 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. When a crowd gathered, people didn't understand what was going on, and it took one person to step up and to deliver the gospel, who was Peter, and 3,000 people got saved because one heart began with it being filled with the Holy Spirit. Starts within. And I pray that we would be a spirit-led church. Along with that, what else? What other testimonies do we see of this amazing church in Antioch? They were a church that was committed to sending out people. You know, when Jesus gave that great commission, notice with me, beloved, that he did not say, I want you disciples to stay in Galilee. I want you to go find a mountaintop, invite all other believers to come, and we're going to live together, and don't worry about the world. He didn't say that. No, it was the exact opposite. He wanted them to go into the world for the sake of saving the lost. He told them to go, and our desire here, if God should tarry, is to commit to sending people out. Again, last night we've had the blessing, and if you haven't checked out our mission board, I want to encourage you, where has God led this church to partner with and send people to? From North Africa to Thailand, listen, to England, to Mexico. God has given us so many opportunities to take the gospel outside of St. George, to Uganda. And this fellowship, again, also not just sending people out as missionaries, but three church plants have come from this fellowship. From Hurricane to Kanab and Richfield. How did that begin? We heard last night, after a Sunday morning message, Pastor Rick and Jill would leave St. George and go to different cities and pray over them, asking God, would you want to see a Calvary Chapel here? One heart, one willing heart. And as God would raise up people, again, our job is not to build our kingdom. Our responsibility is to send people out, to equip them for the work of the ministry. And again, our desire in the future is to be led by the Lord, that whatever door he would open within and around the 1040 window, for what purpose? For the name of Jesus to be heard. You know, last night we talked about John Michaels, who was not only discipling Pastor Rick, but for Maurice and I, he was our senior pastor. And God has given me also a desire, and that same desire overflows from what I've seen God use in his life. And Pastor John had this rule or this concept of what God called him to do, and that was, I am not going to have the ability to go everywhere in this world, but what I can do is go and raise up nationals. And when nationals get on fire for Jesus, they live there, they stay there, then the gospel will spread throughout their whole area. So Pastor John's desire was to disciple, raise up nationals for them to go into places he couldn't. And that's my heart. I will be going to Mexico. I will be going to New Mexico. I will be going to other places with church planting opportunities. For what purpose? To raise up for those people who felt called by the Lord to plant churches, to go in other places where I can't, because God's called me here. I think I'm understanding the term that Pastor John would use at times. He was a frustrated missionary. But build up, and send out. Beloved, if the Lord should tarry, looking ahead, I pray that we here at Calvary Chapel would be a disciple-making church, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to sending them out. That's what God has called us to do. And every day, what is our challenge to achieve that? And I believe with all my heart is to, again, look at the scriptures and follow Jesus' example. Do you realize that in the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, even though Jesus knew he was ready to face the cross and he would be leaving this earth, it says very clearly that he loved his disciples to the very end, that he didn't check out. And all throughout the rest of that gospel, there's a couple of things that God did. Jesus not only had a love for his disciples by preparing them, not just for that night, but for the ministry ahead. And it also declares his love for the unlovable. It declares his love for all of the world. And so for us, this is what I want us, and this is in closing. So worship team, get ready. Don't come up yet, just get ready. I got my first in closing, so that's a little bit more, 5 more minutes or so. How can we follow this example and prepare and to love well those who are the next generation? You know, when I look across this audience or this sanctuary, I don't say this negatively, but there are a lot of us in here that will probably be seeing Jesus soon. And if God were to take all of us away, would we leave a good foundation to pass the baton into the next generation? Because we're not going to be here much longer. Are we having the same attitude of Jesus and preparing as he did the disciples? We know Jesus is coming. And I pray that our heart would not be to check out, but to set the next generation up for victory. I don't know how many young adults I've come across, but there's quite a bit. Now that they're on their own, some of them don't know a whole lot. And that's not a negative thing. But if we as a family see that here and don't do anything about it, are we loving them well? Because the reality is, there are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to come along their side. And listen, I know they kind of look crazy, okay? Ignore the piercings, the tattoos. Hey, why don't you go get a tattoo with them? Bond with them. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But I want you to remember where you were at that age. I want you to remember the grace that God poured out on you to save you. I want you to remember the people who took the time to share the gospel with you. And now it's time for us to do the same. And again, if we don't disciple, if we don't invest in the next generation, I'd hate to see this church in 30 years looking the same way, with the same carpet, the same chairs, the same pulpit, but nobody to preach. It is our responsibility. As God has given us breath, it is our responsibility to prepare the younger generation, because there are more dark times coming. So don't check out. Don't have the attitude, I'm saved, too bad about you. It's time for us to love well and to bring them under our wing. And I want to also challenge you, young adults. You don't realize the amount of wisdom that is around you. I hope and pray that you would understand that the wisdom that God has surrounded you with can literally help you from falling into those pits that we have. So we know a thing or two about life. We were once young, believe it or not. We've walked that road. But we will give you this. It's getting a lot darker. It is our responsibility to lock arms and to love Jesus. We want to set you up for victory. And the last thing, now the worship team can come forward. How did Jesus love the whole world? He loved them enough to die for them. And I pray that our heart today would not check out. Though we know this place is not our home, there are so many others who don't know Jesus. And how do we love them well? And I believe the best scripture for us to understand how to love them well is Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Why don't we turn there really quickly? Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. We will love the lost by applying this to our life. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, remembering the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You see, loving the world doesn't mean we just love them and we accept them and we just embrace everything. That's not what true love is. True love is being a friend that will speak truth in love. It is being a friend to point them to Jesus and let Jesus do the work. True love is not giving up on them, because God hasn't given up on us. God is not expecting perfection. What God desires is that for all to come into a saving knowledge of who he is. And the only way that we're going to win this world is not by battling with them in the flesh. Not because we hold up a sign that says you're going to burn. Our love for this world is going to come from the way that we speak, the way that we deliver the gospel. And if you have a spirit-filled heart and God's word is in you, God is going to give you the words. God's going to give you the ability to see beyond the craziness and the wild lifestyle. And even though they may live a lifestyle that is completely opposite of what we know, it's only because the light hasn't been turned on. And God desires to use you to help flip that light on. But you got to be willing. God wants it. How about you? Because this is how we love well in these dark days. And we need to remind the world, just because we have a difference of opinion doesn't mean I'm your enemy. You know, I hope and pray that one day people would understand this. In the same way that we would not stand on a street corner and watch a little kid go running in the street knowing there's a bus coming. And that we would not even say anything and watch that little kid get trampled over by a bus. And in the same way, the world would say that's cruel, that they would understand if we don't speak about Jesus, it's the same thing. There's a bus coming. And that big yellow bus that goes round and round, the Barney song, ain't true. Because that bus is meant to destroy. And sin will require its due payment. But unless we love and love well, they're never going to hear it. If God should tarry, may he help us not only live for him, that we would believe every portion of scripture, that we would live it out that we would share it with those who don't know, that we would walk through this life with joy, that we would continue to pass on the very things that God has given us, and that is the gift of everlasting life. Beloved, I pray that as we look forward, that we would be a church that would follow Jesus and make him known. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for this day, and I want to thank you for your word once again, and I do pray that we would be, Lord, at a place where our heart's desire is to fulfill the Great Commission. That in every part of our life, Lord, we would understand and know it starts by us denying ourselves, picking up the cross, and following Jesus. And when we surrender, there are no limits to what God can do. And I hope and pray by the power of God's precious name that every single heart in this place would be filled up with Jesus and that we would live for him, that we would let this world know unapologetically that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of all. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to be able to stand up and let's worship the Lord and let's thank the Lord for not only the past 30 years of ministry, but the good things he has in store for us for the next 30 years. Can I get an amen for that? Amen.
So come on my soul.
Don't you get shy on me, lift up a song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up a song.
Chapel, I want to invite you to open your hands and receive these words of blessing from a God who loves you. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Calvary Chapel, go in peace.
Prayer for any reason, we'd love to pray with you. Feel free to come up.